Hasselblad has released a brand new mirrorless camera called the X1D. In this episode, we talk to one of the product designers behind that beautiful camera. Hey folks, I'm Frederick Van Johnson. I've got a really good and interesting treat for you guys today. I'm talking with Pontus Arvosen, and he was one of the guys that was, let's say, instrumental or complicit in the design of Hasselblad's new X1D camera, which is kind of shaking things up in terms of what a medium format camera can look like, you know, kind of shaking, breaking free of all those stereotypes of these giant, you know, medium format cameras. They made something kind of svelte and cool, yet still has insanely high quality. So I want to talk to Pontus about a couple of things, mainly what the design direction of this thing was. Like, how did they come up with this design? We're going to talk through some of the features. We're going to talk about pricing for this and how they're positioning it, and just a whole litany of other things. So Pontus, welcome to This Week in Photo.
Thank you. Thanks.
And you heard, when Hasselblad released this camera, we did an episode of TWIP where we talked about it a little bit, but we didn't really have a whole lot of data on it. Obviously, none of us had the camera in hand, and none of us had a Hasselblad to shoot with even before that. So we can only hypothesize and speculate about this camera. So you reached out to me and said, hey, Frederick, let's have a real conversation about this camera. And discuss it,
about the cost of the lenses, I remember.
Yeah.
And you missed the fact that we had made new lenses for this camera.
Yeah, I did.
So
yeah,
that's why I reached out and just...
I love it. Yeah. And I, you know, TWIP is, you know, I want to make it, keep everything egalitarian. I want to set the record straight, especially if I can get the scoop straight from the horse's mouth, the product designer for this particular product. So Pontus, before we dive into the camera itself, the X1D, let's talk about your history, you know, and kind of how you got into it. How does a person ascend to becoming a product designer at a company like Hasselblad? What was your path?
Yeah, it's been kind of a winding and crooked path, actually. But taking it from the beginning, I was I have an engineering background, actually. So I was going to choose either product design or architecture, but ended up in programming, so software engineering, because it was new at the time, very intriguing and exciting, like an unknown territory. Mm-hmm. But I found out that I didn't want to make a living doing that. So I kind of I corrected the trajectory and finally got a design degree, product design. And then I teamed up, I freelanced as a designer and teamed up with the furniture designer. And we had a little office with a window facing the streets here in Gothenburg. And I was a keen hobby photographer as well. So I started putting my photos framed in the window. And yeah, people saw it from the street and they stopped and someone knocked on the door and asked, what's this and can you buy it and stuff? So one thing led to another and I started selling from this office. That's and I had cool. I had an exhibition with the nature, fine art nature kind of photos. And it sold out basically. So from that point, I turned photography into a full-time career instead.
Wow. And what were you shooting back then? Were you shooting Hasselblad or some other body?
No, I've tried a lot of different, actually. Nikon, the D70 and D700 and those cameras. And at one time, I changed for Canon, so I've done all the Canon systems as well. Mm-hmm. And then further on, when I got more advanced, I had rented Hasselblad cameras as well.
I love it. Yeah. That's what a great story, though. Like just hanging photos in the window. That sounds like a almost like a movie, right? So photographer just hangs them in the
window. Talking about it sounds good now in retrospect. At the time, it was a bit chaotic. But
yeah.
So I continued shooting nature and a lot of floral, more fine art stuff, and approached some companies, and they wanted... I was lucky a few times, and they had maybe 70 offices, and they wanted 3 framed photos in each office.
Oh, geez, wow.
So I kind of had a little frame workshop in my garage, so I did everything myself.
You did it all yourself? Wow, jeez.
Yeah, and printed on my Epson printer and everything. Wow,
so you shot it, processed it, printed, built the frames. Did you hang them in the clients' offices as well?
Yeah, actually.
You did?
Actually, I did.
That's full service, sir.
Yeah,
that's full service.
Full control. And also, I mean, it's a lot of job, but you get all the money ended up in my pocket.
So. Yeah, of course. Was it mainly black and white, or were there some color in there as well?
No, it was color as well. Okay. So it started out only like nature, but then some companies, like for example, a construction company, they wanted something that showed their niche. So I took some more graphic black and white images of cranes and caterpillars and stuff like that, and mixed it up. And it was really fun actually, just shooting what you want and then finding a place for it.
Yeah. Wow. Now, do you now, like you said, you're working at Hasselblad full time as the product designer there. Do you find you have a lot of time to continue shooting, or is a lot of your time taken up, you know, in software designing cool camera bodies?
Yeah. I mean, my focus is contributing to Hasselblad. So if I have time, I will shoot. But yeah, the last 2 years is no time.
Yeah, no, I can.
So I shoot pictures of my kids and stuff like that. But
yeah. Well, let's switch gears. Let's talk about that camera. So the camera itself is beautiful. It is, you know, I think you should send me one or two of them just so I can.
Yeah.
But it is a beautiful.
Yeah, I heard that you wanted to rent one to try it out. I heard the last.
I do.
The last episode or something on Twitter.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to rent one, especially after this episode. I need to get my hands on it to understand, you know, the magic. I think I said on that show that I'm afraid to shoot with one, because if I shoot with one, I'm going to be ruined. For all other smaller sensor sizes, I'm going to become a Hasselblad shooter or something. But
yeah, it is a big difference, and it's. And now when it's such a portable camera that handles very well and the user interface and everything, you should think twice before trying.
I know, it's dangerous. It's like, I'll equate it to me trying drones when I held off on trying drones. And then when I finally did it, it was, you know, now I have to have a drone. I can't imagine life without a drone. So let's talk about this X1D. It's beautiful. I'm going to bring it up on the screen here so people can see what we're talking about. Okay, so this is your baby. You helped design this camera. Like, take me through.
Yeah, exactly. It's important to say that I help so that I don't take credit for this. It's a team effort of the entire Hasselblad.
No, of course. But, you know, even helping with a design like this for a camera as iconic and as important to the photography industry as Hasselblad is a huge deal.
Yeah, it's a dream come true. Yeah.
So where did the idea come from to switch things up, you know, to go and create something entirely new, you know, and branch away from sort of the traditional Hasselblad look?
Yeah, I mean... We had the idea that it would work with the sensor, the 50 megapixel CMOS sensor, with a mirrorless body. We didn't really need the space for the mirror. So we had that idea and we wanted to do something with it. And as you might know, there were a brief period with the Italian design office with the rebranded cameras. So we knew that we wanted to do something genuine Hasselblad designed. So, and that's why the design office actually started as well. Mm-hmm. We felt that we really needed a department that really focused on the design, not, we learned from the mistake.
So Hasselblad created a brand new design group for this particular body?
Yeah, no, not just for this body, but this was one of the first that we worked with. So actually the first one we worked with was the Ariel, the A6D, which was released last year, mm-hmm. which was a dedicated Ariel camera. And then the H6D, the bigger body one mm-hmm. with the mirror.
Yeah, I'm going to show that one as well. Yeah, that's this guy right here, right?
Exactly. So the kind of the design overhaul, or what to say, it started with the A6D, where we did new graphics and everything, a little bit more clean cut. Mm-hmm. And then it continued on this one, the H60. And it got, it builds on the H5D, but it's a completely new electronic platform. And we did some form changes as well on the sensor unit, as you can see there.
Yeah.
It's kind of tapered in the back and a little bit more contemporary look to it.
Yeah, it's hot.
And this was the first time where we used the new graphical user interface, which has been really popular in the market.
Now, Pontus, where, to the extent that you can divulge this, where is Hasselblad going in terms of mirrored versus mirrorless? Is it, you know, clearly the industry is kind of moving in the direction of mirrorless, you know, at least on lower end cameras. Is that where Hasselblad is going as well? The older cameras are going to, you know, they'll maintain the mirrors, but looking forward, we're going to see mirrorless user interfaces.
At this point, there is really a market and a need for the H60, the mirror camera. Mm-hmm. And I mean, yes, one thing is the size. It's actually a good thing for many photographers that it is a bit more hefty and bulky, that you can, if you shoot a lot on tripod, maybe you use a larger lens or 120 millimeter lens with extenders and stuff like that, mm-hmm. then you appreciate the H60. And a lot of photographers still want the optical viewfinder. So, I mean, now it's really a need for both, I think.
Okay, that's good. That's great. So,
that's when we will continue that track as well. And as long as there is a need for the other, we will continue that as well.
So. Excellent. So who is the market for these? So 50 megapixels, right? So who is the market for the 50 megapixel camera? Is it landscape photographers? Are we looking at fashion photographers that are in studio and they're doing, you know, lighting setups with fast moving models and they need all those pixels for retouching? Who needs 50
megapixels? I mean, I would say that is the main target, but because this is such a portable camera, mm-hmm. it will open up for new usage and new kinds of photographers will start using medium format. So we will see medium format quality in travel. And I'm thinking also like, for example, maybe you take a portrait, an author portrait, which is usually a bit more intimate, maybe in their studio or something like that. Then it will create a different atmosphere with a smaller camera. So I'm really looking forward to see what the market will use it and see new kinds of.
But we're not looking at this camera as a. It kind of looks like it could be, but is Hasselblad seeing this camera as a, you know, I'm going to put a camera strap on it, I'm going to go take it on vacation with me, and you know, get my travel photos, but then I can also put it on a tripod in the studio and, you know, or outside and get landscape shots. Is it that kind of camera, or is it primarily designed to live on a tripod, but you can take it off if you need to because it's smaller?
Yeah, no, it's not designed to live on a tripod, but it's designed for the professional. But because the look and feel of it is, and really, if I may say so, an appealing product, it will also attract buyers. Enthusiasts that maybe look at Leica and other well-built cameras. I think that market will also be interested in this product because it's such a beautiful product that it's nice to handle.
But then with that, that's a good segue into pricing, though, right? So the price of this camera is clearly out of the range for your low end, or not even low end, just your sort of middle of the road consumer, you know, advanced amateur to semi pro photographer, kind of like me, right? We're in in that range of nine, because the base price for the X1D is 9,000, and with the lens on there, it's going to be around 13,000 for this camera, which is out of the range for a lot of people unless you're able to pass those that money or that cost along to a onto a client, right? Which is presumably what you'd want to do. So that said, who's the target for this?
But I think, if you're looking at the DSLR shooters, the top of the line DSLRs with a few lenses, it's not a long way from the price point for this one. So I think a lot of enthusiasts and semi professionals, they are looking for something that will improve their work, and this will fit exactly into that range, I think. Mm-hmm. And also a camera that they can use for a variety of things. Maybe they are not focused in one area. Maybe they are a bit. They need to be able to do a little bit of both, or several areas. Then this camera will be perfect for them. So, I think the semi-professionals and enthusiasts. I think so.
Yeah. Once you buy into the system, like any system, you're buying into a system, right? So you're buying the body and the lenses that go along with that system. So that's kind of what brought us together, talking about the lens options for a camera like this. So tell me about that. So I'm looking at on the screen here, I put the new lens range that you guys have up on the X1D page.
Yeah, that's the first two.
Mm-hmm. What are they?
It's the 45 millimeter 3.5 and a 90mm 3.2 lens.
Mm-hmm.
And then there will be a 30mm at the Photokina.
Oh, okay.
And that is something that we will continue working with throughout the year and the years to come as well to build up this range. So this is, we're committed to make it to have a wide range of optics, of course.
Yeah, and it is, and I gotta have to, while I have you on the phone here, I gotta tell you, it is a beautiful camera. it is a beautiful camera. This kind of camera with the Hasselblad name on it, you know, a lot of photographers walk around with their cameras kind of as a fashion statement, you know, these days.
Yeah.
So this camera definitely makes a statement if you walk out with it, right?
Yeah, I'm glad you think so. Yeah. I'm glad that we managed to keep it as clean and simple. If you look at the buttons on the top, there are the power button and there are two buttons for ISO, white balance, and AEF and manual focus.
Mm-hmm.
And there's not a lot of secondary. We haven't graphic for secondary functions, and if you push this button and this one together, you get this. So we managed to keep it very clean. And if you look at the mode dial, it has a locking mechanism that you, when you push it down, it's locked, so it will not change in your bag or wherever. And you press it, and it pops up, and you can turn the dial. And that also keeps everything, it's flush with the surface. So everything on the camera is very neat and tidy.
Yeah.
Which I think contributes to the experience when you are using it.
And Pontus, I see a video icon on that mode dial there. So this camera shoots video. What kind of video is it shooting? Is it shooting 4K or 1080?
Yeah, no, it's 1080 HD video. And it's nothing that we have really promoted. It's there, and we know that a lot of people want 4K, but it's good enough for most people. Mm-hmm. And if you really need the 4K, then it's the H6100 that you need to look at.
Okay.
But you still get. I heard you in some of your episodes. You discussed if it's different. Look and feel of the video.
Mm-hmm.
And we are actually using the complete width of the sensor. We are just cropping the height, so you get the same look and feel in the video as you do on the stills, which is kind of neat, I think.
Wonderful. That's really cool. I'm looking at the top of the camera now. I see the X1D handmade in Sweden. Is this truly handmade?
Yeah, it is. In the building where I sit in Lindholmen in Gothenburg, we have the production. Everything is in that building. So we concept and we design, we manufacture and assemble and ship and wow. Everything.
What about support? Is support handled out of there as well? So if I buy one and I have an issue, how does Hasselblad handle support if I'm on a live job?
Yeah, we have a second line support in Gothenburg. That's actually where I started at Hasselblad. It's kind of the technical issues that the first line support can't handle, because we have a network of supporters around the world. But if there is something that they can't handle, they turn to us. So as an end user, you will not end up in Gothenburg. But
mm-hmm.
Our dealers have a kind of a hotline that they can call and if there should be a problem.
And where's the camera available? I assume all major photo retailers. So if I jump over to B&H, for example, I can order it from there. Or
yeah, I would say so. We are. I mean, we select the best retailers, but most of the well-known one.
Yeah, love it. Love it. Well, cool. Well, I'll end this on just future. You know, I always want to ask what's coming next. Clearly, Hasselblad has thrown the gauntlet down with this camera and moving into this kind of thin body style, mirrorless, multi-purpose camera and lowering the price as well, you know, by Hasselblad standards, at least. So what's next? Well, what are we going to see? Are we going to see another version of this camera? Are we going to see 4K? You know, what's
I mean, we will continue to evolve both paths, the kind of the H6 mirror system path in one direction and this being the other direction.
Mm-hmm.
So it will be iterations of this one, of course. And we are looking at a lot of different things that I can't really talk about, I'm afraid. But
of course.
It's for me, it's easy to... For my time to slip.
Yeah. So you're keeping busy over there in Sweden then, right?
Yeah, we are busy and we're working with new stuff. So there will be interesting years to come.
What you mentioned at the beginning of the interview that you know, those photographs that you put in the window and people were wanting to buy those. Where can people, you have a website where people can go check out your work?
I have a website at arvasen.se. Right now, it's not much of the landscape photos there because it's a quite new website. So it's a few fashion shots and some of the design sketches actually as well.
Oh, cool! So, I want to see those.
You should check it out. And maybe the Instagram account. It's also kind of new.
Oh, what's your Instagram name?
It's Pontus Arvasen in one.
Okay, and we'll link to those in the show notes for this episode.
Yeah, sure.
That's really cool, man. Well, thank you. Thank you for taking the time to do this interview. This is fascinating. I'm going to make a strong effort to not shoot with this camera. because if I do, it's all over and I'll have to take a mortgage out on the house. And
I'm sure you have some things to sell and you buy this one.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, there's a kid around here. I think I could probably. No, this is good. Congratulations.
On your Vietnam trip, I heard about.
Yeah, it'd be great to take this to Vietnam, wouldn't it?
You can't go there without the X20. Unfortunately, okay. I don't have one to give you.
We'll have to. You have one of your own. We may have to talk. All right, man. Well, thank you so much. Thanks for taking the time.
Yeah, thanks. I really appreciate
you're welcome.
It.
You're welcome to come on TWIPIN anytime. It's been a pleasure chatting with you.
Yeah, cool. I really appreciate it.
Okay. You have a good day.